This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. Mushing season has officially kicked off on the YK Delta. On Saturday afternoon, 15 dog teams gathered on Charles Family Lake in Bethel to blaze cold and fast tundra trails to Otmouthluk and back for the Kuskokwim 300 Race Committee's season opener. Akiak musher Mike Williams Jr. took the top spot, pulling ahead of second-place Spiridon Cheney of Nebuskiak and third-place Michael Larson of Kwikluk. Williams Jr. earned $3,200 for his first-place finish. He completed the 32-mile race in 2 hours and 14 minutes. The victory also earned the Williams Racing Kennel 10 points in K300's annual Delta Championship Series. The season opener is the first of 5 races in the series, which is ranked based on kennels, encouraging more mushers to participate throughout the season. Next up in the series, the Holiday Classic will take place on December 20th. The final, roughly 50-mile route is still being determined. Register and find trail details as they come available by visiting k300.org. The State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management has announced that the application period for individuals affected by Typhoon Halong to apply for state and FEMA individual assistance has been extended to February 20, 2026. According to the state, as of December 13th, 1,920 survivors have applied for state IA and 1,558 FEMA IA applications have been received. Ongoing assessments and community assistance visits have indicated that many households in remote villages remain unregistered for state and FEMA IA programs. The extension will grant additional time for impacted residents to gather supporting documentation while also allowing community visits and required inspections to occur. Additional information about assistance can be found online. For state disaster assistance, head to ready.alaska.gov, and for federal assistance through FEMA, head to disasterassistance.gov. And in more Halong relief news, a donation fund has distributed over $3.3 million to communities impacted. The Western Alaska Disaster Relief Fund quickly formed in the days after the storm struck YK Delta communities. The fund is facilitated by the Alaska Community Foundation and has continued to collect donations to support disaster relief. In an announcement last week, the foundation reported that $2.9 million has gone directly to tribal councils, city governments, and other regional organizations in Kipnuk, Quigilingok, Chifornik, Napakiak, Nebuskiak, Nightmute, Quinnahock, Bethel, and Tuntutuliak. The money is intended to support temporary housing and home repairs, as well as essential supplies and emergency assistance. Some funding has been used to purchase ATVs, snow machines, and other winter supplies to aid in cleanup and travel between villages. Other money has gone towards replenishing subsistence food stores. These funds were doled out with support from Bethel Food Bank, SeaShare, and the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, which were facilitating a traditional foods drive out of Bethel through the end of last week. Donations have also supported programs for youth well-being facilitated by the Teens Acting Against Violence program under the Tundra Women's Coalition. They've also supported displaced students in the Lower Kuskokwim School District through school supplies and clothing. KYUK also receives support through the fund for its reporting and facilitation of community communication. The Western Alaska Disaster Relief Fund will continue to accept donations. To make a contribution, visit their website at alaskacf.org/westernalaska. That's alaskacf.org/westernalaska. Alaska Native veterans have until the end of the month to claim 160 acres of federal land. The land grants were part of a government Native allotment program created over 100 years ago to promote homesteads and private property ownership, but it was shut down in 1971 after the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act passed. Vietnam veterans have been given a special exemption to apply for the land, but as KMBA's Rhonda McBride tells us, it isn't easy.
Congress passed the Native Allotment Program in 1906. Decades later, in the years leading up to the Land Claims Act, Natives scrambled to file for their land. But many Vietnam veterans missed out because they were overseas and engaged in combat. the Alaska congressional delegation eventually succeeded in passing legislation to fix this. In 2019, President Trump signed a bill into law that opened a 5-year window for Native vets to file for their land. But there still have been some hurdles.
It's one thing to make laws, but it's quite another thing when the bureaucracy kicks in and starts developing these onerous processes that were really never anticipated.
Jim LaBelle's challenges began in boarding school. He says he and his younger brother, Kermit, were unable to qualify for their allotments because they couldn't prove that they worked the land they hoped to receive. Then both brothers went to fight in the Vietnam War. Kermit was killed in action at the age of 18. After the war, LaBelle had about given up on efforts to claim his land, but tried again, and a few years ago, the government accepted his application.
I took a little doing, but I can't say that I'm very happy with the lands that I got.
LaBelle is Inupiaq, but wound up with land near the interior Alaska community of Tok, far away from his homelands.
It's an area I'm not familiar with, but was available at the time. The way I looked at the map, it looks like I'd have to have a helicopter to fly in.
LaBelle is now focused on getting his late brother Kermit's allotment. One of the challenges, providing a death certificate.
I also have to prove that he was killed in Vietnam, and I have to prove that he had a CIB, a Certificate of Indian Blood.
It's not a user-friendly process.
Michael Livingston has been helping vets like Jim LaBelle apply. He says he volunteers because many of those who are eligible, now in their 70s and 80s, have had such a hard time dealing with the bureaucracy, they've given up.
Out of the 2,000 veterans that are eligible, only about 500 have applied, so that's only about 25%.
As of mid-December, the Bureau of Land Management's website said it had received 519 applications, but fewer than 50 have been accepted.
So far, I've helped about 50 Alaska Native veterans apply for 160 acres of land, and that adds up to over 8,000 acres that potentially is going to return to the hands of Alaska Natives. So in that sense, it's been pretty rewarding.
Livingston encourages Native vets to file before the December 29th deadline, even if their application isn't finished. Senator Dan Sullivan says that's a good idea.
Get your application in. We can work with you. We can help. If it needs to be updated, we can do that.
Sullivan says staffers in his Alaska offices are prepared to assist. For now, he says, he's racing against the clock to get a bill passed to extend the program.
I just wish we could get my colleagues to see that this is not a big ask. Believe it or not, the bill is a two-word change. It's from 5 years to 10 years.
Sullivan says his bill has Republican support, and he's worked with Democrats to attach his legislation to a package of bills that includes things the Democrats want, but believe they continue to block it because they think it's a backdoor attempt to usher in more development, which he says is not true.
They've just been very reluctant to get more people land and access to federal lands in Alaska.
Even so, Sullivan hasn't given up on trying to win bipartisan support for an extension. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson and Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganunchit. Coming up.